welcome to Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that wonderful moment when you can jump up and down and say, yes, I'm in. We're going to speak in a minute to one of the most respected admissions directors around, who has been an admissions director for longer than I have been an admissions consultant. And there aren't too many who can claim that distinction. But first, a quick reminder. If you have an admissions-related question that you would like me to address, just go to the show notes at info.accepted.com/111, that's 111, and just post your question in a comment. You can also send me questions via email at questions@accepted.com. If your question is chosen, I'll ask and answer it on the show. Oh, and FYI, if you just want to ask your question in a comment on the blog, you know, that's anywhere on the blog, please feel free to do that too. We're developing a wonderful and thoughtful community here at Accepted, so feel free to share your thoughts, your concerns, whatever. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Liz Riley Hargrove, Associate Dean for Admissions at the Fuqua School of Business. Liz started out in undergrad admissions, but quickly moved to Duke Fuqua, where she started as an assistant director of admissions in 1993 and moved up to become the associate dean for admissions at the Fuqua School of Business in 2008. She is responsible for all elements of the recruitment and evaluation process for the different MBA programs at Duke, as well as the master's in management program. She participated many times in Accepted's chats in the 2000s, and it is a pleasure now to speak with her on Admissions Straight Talk. Liz, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you, Linda. It's good to speak with you again.
Delighted to have you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Great.
Yeah.
Can you give an overview of Duke's two-year program? There may be listeners who aren't that familiar with the program itself.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd love to. So Duke University, like most programs, has a two-year MBA program. What's probably different about our program is that we give students the opportunity to take elective courses more earlier in their MBA experience and the opportunity to sort of custom design their MBA experience. So the first year of the MBA, you are taking core classes with a cohort of students who have entered. But earlier on, so that you can prepare for your career goals and your job search process, we're going to give you the opportunity to take elective courses that will help differentiate you in the interviewing process for various companies. Most of our students will do an internship after their first year of the program, and that typically helps them confirm what they want to do and what they don't want to do. And then the second year, we're going to let you custom design your program until graduation. So it's a very transformative MBA experience, giving you the opportunity to kind of round out your skill set.
So the second year is entirely elective?
Entirely elective.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Now, Fuqua is sometimes referred to as Team Fuqua. At the same time, mm-hmm. there is just tremendous emphasis on your website and your literature about being a consequential leader. Isn't there a tension between having a culture that defines itself as Team Fuqua and
either
the focus?
Team or leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the most important thing to remember about that concept is that a student's growth as a leader is supported by the Team Fuqua culture. So Team Fuqua describes the environment within which you're going to study. Pretty much everything you do within our MBA experience is going to be on some type of team-based format. The 420 students that we bring in at the beginning of the year are broken down into sections of approximately 65 students, and then those 65 students are broken down into small teams that they'll take their core classes with. And it's very intentional that we do that. We want students to kind of work through the team process and also define how they want to develop as a leader. And I think that's the core competency, that's the core criteria for students who choose Fuqua, is they understand the value of teamwork. They understand when they need to be a team player and when they need to be a leader. And so we are developing leaders who want to change the world.
Great. Now,
and so much of our curriculum is supported by that.
Okay. And along these same lines, there is a wonderful list, I really enjoyed seeing it, of 40 attributes that leaders have, maybe not all of them, but that leaders have. And I would assume that some leaders have more of them, some leaders have less of at least some of them, but they all have one or two or 10 of the 40.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Fuqua break down leadership in this way? I mean, I think it's fantastic, but I'm curious what motivated it. And we'll link to the list for listeners at info.exhibit.com/111,
yeah,
so you can review it easily.
Yeah.
But
so that list is not intended to be exhaustive of all traits of leadership, but it is designed to get students to start thinking about the ways in which they want to develop as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we are the type of environment that we strive to protect at Fuqua is one in which teamwork and leadership are not in opposition of each other.
Okay.
They go hand in hand.
So there is no tension.
I'm sorry?
A couple minutes ago, I said there's a tension between leadership and teamwork. And in your perspective?
No, we don't believe there is a tension between teamwork and leadership. And one of the things that we hear from companies who hire our students is that Duke students know how to be great leaders, but they also know how to facilitate the team process. And we look at, you know, some of the work that our students are doing right now, and we know that the teamwork component is incredible. The process of you know, norming and forming a team is important in the work environment because everything we do and on some level is based in a team-oriented environment. And then there are times when a leader needs to step up, and we want our students to be able to do that. And so our curriculum is designed to help them navigate that. We'll put them in situations that are probably not as comfortable, but it's where the biggest growth takes place.
Right. You know, I don't know if you know Max Duffy. She's a friend and colleague.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah. She talks about umbrella terms. Umbrella terms are terms that tend to be bandied around a lot in MBA websites and, frankly, also MBA essays. And one of the biggest ones, of course, is leadership. And I love her term for it, these umbrella terms. And if you focus on the specifics or the attributes that you have on that page, I think it's a lot more concrete.
Again, it's not intended to be exhaustive of
Understood.
Every characteristic or term, but it is just a wonderful place to start to think about where you are. And you know this better than anybody, the thought process and the work that it takes to get yourself ready to apply to business school.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at, you know, your strengths, your weaknesses, and you're thinking about, for the investment that you're about to make, how can you take advantage of a particular school's either teaching environment or, whatever it is they tout as their greatest strength,
right,
and thinking about how it can help you. And that's right. Just one of the ways that we define that.
I think it's very helpful.
Yeah.
So even if I would really recommend the listeners that you go and check out that list. Now, can you tell me, what is one of the coolest things a recent Duke Fuqua grad is doing?
Yeah, we have. Well, you mean other than Tim Cook being the CEO of Apple?
That's pretty cool. That's way high up there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty high level.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. He's not necessarily a recent graduate, but he is one of our alums, and we certainly have been engaging with him over the years.
That would be definitely way high. That was definitely way high up on the coolness scale, but I was thinking more
that
about
was
recent.
Way high up on the coolness scale. Yeah.
I was thinking more about recent.
I just got my first Apple Watch, and I'm thinking, this is pretty daggone cool.
Oh, really? I'm still on the Apple on the phone, but.
Yeah, it was a gift, though.
Okay.
We had some students do some really interesting things. When you ask that question, one of the most immediate things that came to mind is a student who was in the Army prior to business school, came to business school to transition or to better define his leadership skills, and now he is going to be leading the admissions process at West Point. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is
very
cool.
Non-traditional. I don't think we've had anyone who has specifically gone to do that. So he worked in our department, shadowed, you know, most of our counselors, helped us with interviews, And so he'll be taking West Point's admission process to the next level because of that.
Wow.
He also started a program called Five Star Transition while he was in business school, and that was really designed to help former military candidates experience, you know, or other students experience what it would be like to have to go through some of the things that our military, our former military candidates have gone through. Our Armed Forces Association does a fantastic job of helping military candidates transition specific skills into business, a business context.
Mm-hmm. Good. I know there's a strong military tradition at
yeah.
Duke in general, and specifically at the business school.
Yeah, we are known as one of the, you know, one of the most military friendly schools.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that happens because our students understand the value that the MBA can have for someone who is transitioning their military career,
mm-hmm.
and they want to help them say, you know, take these skills and these things that you've learned about leadership and teamwork and adversity and, you know, high stress can also translate into the business world in different careers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn to the application for now, okay? One of the questions that applicants frequently ask me is, what should I take, the GRE or the GMAT? Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah. You know, honestly, when we began accepting the GRE, our initial thought was that it would help applicants who were applying from one of our joint degree programs with one
mm-hmm.
of the other schools at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a testing alternative to make it a more seamless process than to apply for admission to business school.
Mm-hmm.
We have some fantastic joint degree students in, you know, the medical school, the public policy school, you know, the Nicholas School of the Environment. And part of the draw of Duke University is taking advantage of these, you know, multidisciplinary studies.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found was that, you know, for those students preparing for some of the joint degree programs, there was a bit of a disconnect between taking the GMAT and the GRE and applying to both pretty rigorous admission processes at the same time.
Right.
And the GRE was our way of providing an alternative for students who were interested in doing that. To be fair to all candidates, we opened it up for everyone. And so we don't, the GMAT is the test that we have the most experience with, and it was developed to help understand how a student might perform in the core curriculum of an MBA program. But there are some indicators and pieces of the GRE that we also use that can help us get at that information, and so we decided to make it an option for anyone who is considering one of our programs. And as you know, in some countries the GMAT is not as accessible as the GRE might be.
Right. Right.
And so that was also really helpful as well in terms of opening up the ability to apply.
Now, there's a, I don't know, rumor out there that traditional MBA applicants, you know, your consultants and bankers, et cetera, they should take the GMAT,
mm-hmm.
but it's okay for non-traditional applicants to take the GRE. What would you say about that?
Yeah, you know, honestly, we don't have a sort of stake in, other than being a member of the Graduate Management Admission Council, which we value that partnership,
mm-hmm.
This was honestly about providing options for candidates
mm-hmm.
to present themselves to the admissions committee in the ways that best suited where they lived and their backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see consultants who have taken the GRE, and we do see non-traditional candidates who have taken the GMAT. We actually, our preference is that you take the GMAT, but
okay.
if you submit a GRE score, your application is going to be evaluated in exactly the same process and way that it would be if we had a GMAT.
All right, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any aspects of Fuqua's MBA program that you feel are less known and should be known, better known, or perhaps are underrated?
You know, this has been a pretty exciting year for Fuqua.
Oh, it's been fantastic.
Of,
Business Week number one.
we're number one twice.
Yeah.
Basketball and MBA program.
That's true.
And having been at Fuqua since 1993, it's amazing to, you know, to be on the leadership team and experience that. So it finally feels like some of the really great work that we know we've always done has been recognized at least by one source.
Mm-hmm.
We don't rest on that, though. Our job is really to provide the best MBA experience. And I think that if I had to name one thing that I felt was underrated, it is that concept that we go back to of developing as a leader and a team player.
Mm-hmm.
Our students are deeply committed to helping their classmates evolve as leaders. And so I look at what happens, the dynamic that happens in some of the team building stuff that we do. And Fuqua students really care about making an impact, not just professionally, but within their communities. And I think that's the common thread. They want to make a difference in their professional lives, and they certainly are transforming as it relates to their careers, but they also care about what's going on in their communities as well.
Okay. There's increasing interest, you know, over the last several years in sustainability and clean tech in the world at large, and certainly among MBA applicants. Can you talk for a second about Duke's energy finance and energy and environment concentrations?
Yeah, so it's our newest concentration, if you will, and was really designed so that students could learn, you know, how energy and the environment will impact business issues. Students in this concentration typically are considering strategies that are either very specific in one area of energy or more general as it relates to sustainability and energy and the environment. And so we, you know, with that in mind, you know, we have students who are considering environmental impacts. They're considering the fact that there are finite resources and that, you know, they're thinking about energy costs, the rising energy costs and emissions, you know, carbon dioxide emissions. And this gives them a framework within business to pursue their passion, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The students are concerned about these types of environmental issues. They're combining it with an energy finance or, you know, a degree in energy concentration, excuse me, and taking it to the business context and how they can help. Again, it goes back to the students who care about making an impact in either the company or the world. This kind of fits both.
What kind of jobs do they typically get? Do they go into investment banks? Do they go into, you know?
A little bit of everything. There are certainly some who go into investment banking. There are students who work for, you know, some of the major oil companies.
Right.
So it is a pretty wide range.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, going back to the application again, you have, in my opinion, fun and really excellent essay questions in addition to the more straightforward and direct short answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Fuqua allows applicants a choice for the second essay question. But it's almost two different ways, that question, to show fit with Fuqua. Why provide the choice?
Yeah. I'll start back from the beginning of the process. And our responsibility is, at least how I've nurtured my team, we want to get to know our candidates in the best ways possible. And sometimes it's as easy as listing 25 random things about yourself that maybe most people wouldn't care about, but it breathes life and character to your application. And then there are some students who are more comfortable writing a more traditional essay with prompts. And so we decided that we would provide a combination so that a student could choose the best way to represent themselves to the admissions committee. And that was truly the, you know, the impetus.
Mm-hmm.
The 25 random facts is kind of fun.
It is.
And some of the things, it is fun. And the things we learn about our applicants, it's incredible. And those who choose to write the longer essay outlining the Team Fuqua principles, help us understand what they know about the environment that they're selecting into. So there's no magic. If there was magic to a formula, I would sell it. So you really have to kind of take a look at where you are in your career, what you know about yourself and how self-aware you are, and decide which is the best way for me to represent who I am to the admissions committee. And we're going to give you some options to do that with a little more space this year for the short and long-term goals.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Now, you also give two interview options. I guess you have everybody can, up until a certain date, everybody can sign up for interviews, and after that date, it's mm-hmm. by appointment only. If someone lives on the East Coast and doesn't sign up for the open interviews, is that seen as a lack of interest or seriousness, or do you assume that...
Not necessarily. You know, the two interview periods were designed specifically for the stage in which you're ready to apply. Mm-hmm. So if you think about the open interview season, this is somebody who has already conducted their research. They know that they want to apply to Duke. They don't want to take a chance on not being invited to interview. And so they're going to come during the open season.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
After the open season closes, you have to be invited. You have to have applied for admission and then have been invited for an interview. And some people don't want to take that chance. So it's not necessarily designed to weed people out. However, before we had an open and a closed season, we would potentially see candidates who lived in close proximity to Duke.
Yeah.
And we wondered why they didn't take advantage of just coming down to interview on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that process probably told us more about their interest in Duke. But really, the open season is designed for candidates who they know they're going to apply. It's a good time to come and learn a little bit more about the program and talk to students before you actually submit your application. And so it's also designed to let you sit in on the class, take a tour of the facilities, talk with first-year and second-year students. I think it's incredibly helpful in terms of building your application and thinking about how you want to represent yourself if you come during the open season. And everybody can't do that. We understand that. But because we want to be very thoughtful with how we use our resources, our alumni interview resources and our staffing resources and student resources for interviews, we wanted to make sure that we at least had an opportunity to look over a student's candidacy before we invited them for an interview. And we don't admit anyone that we haven't interviewed. So students should take that as a sign of, okay, if I know I want to go to Duke and I don't want to take a chance on either being invited or not being invited, I'm going to take advantage of this open interview period.
Thank you. Now, what gets you excited in a positive way about an applicant?
Oh, gosh. I tell my kids this all the time. Everything we do in life is about a relationship, right? So you think about your coworkers, the kids you go to school with. You think about, you know, the people who are also applying to business school. And so what gets me excited about applicants, I love people who want to come to Duke.
Right.
And I did not go to Duke, however. I went to another school down the road, which shall go unnamed in this interview.
Okay.
But have come to love Duke over the time that I've been there. And I am passionate about what I do. And when I sense that an applicant knows why they want to be here, and they just seem like a great fit, they are smart, they are, passionate about what they believe in, that gets me excited.
Okay, great. What advice, final words of wisdom, do you have for MBA applicants to Fuqua?
Yeah. I say this all the time, it's like I say it to everybody who will ask me or anyone who will listen.
Well, we want to listen.
be yourself.
Okay.
You know, this process is not about being someone other than who you are. I think oftentimes candidates will think that wherever they are in their life stage, if you want to apply to business school, that you have to be someone other than who you are.
Those people are taken.
What's that?
I say the other people are taken already.
They're already, that's a famous quote, you know,
right.
Who you are because everybody else is taken.
Right.
And the one thing that I hope that my team expresses when they meet candidates on the road or if they call our office is that We just want you to be who you are. You don't have to be anyone other than you are to be a great fit with FUQA. There are certain, you know, values that align. We're in a position where, unfortunately, you know, we have to say no to students many, many more times than we're able to say yes, come to FUQA. And that makes it really tough. And if you're trying to, you know, be someone other than who you are, it puts us in a position where we don't know, is this real or not? So, you know, be yourself, be who you are, ask the hard questions, because we'll tell you how we feel. But we are, you know, my job is to make sure that our incoming classes represent a microcosm of the world and with lots of different backgrounds, because our students don't come to Duke to go to school with people who look just like them, who come from the same part of the world that they do, who worked in the same field, and who want to go into the same industries when they finish their MBA. And so everybody has a story to tell, so tell the story that only you can tell.
Sounds like great advice. It's great advice to me.
Thanks.
Liz, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Where can listeners and potential applicants learn more about Duke FUQA's MBA program?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to our website. Our website has recently been revamped, and so there are lots of student blogs and testimonials and information at www.fuqua.duke.edu.
Great.
And we'll have more than 200 events scheduled around the world in the next couple of months. So once we welcome our students at orientation at the end of July, we will say goodbye as we go after the next incoming class. I really look forward to meeting a lot of those students in the next couple of months.
Sounds good. So we'll include a link at info.exhibit.com/111 to Duke's site, to the FUQA site.
Okay.
And also to the list of leadership attributes that I enjoyed reviewing. And once again, thank you, Liz. Listener, thank you, too, for joining
Absolutely.
Liz Riley Hargrove and me for our 111th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk, especially if you leave a five-star feedback. There is a link in the show notes to our iTunes page where you can leave that review. And if you have a question for me, please ask it at info.exhibit.com/111, that's 111, or by sending an email to questions@exhibit.com. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Exhibit, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.